Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
David on writing duty and Matthew on
answering duty.
Answering duty. They literally, you know, they have like a
so
symbiotic.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Friday's Rugby Daily. I'm Daniel Pitcher. Coming up, a huge weekend for Leinster and Ulster in the Champions and Challenge Cups. We look ahead with Gerry Thornley, Gary Ringrose and Ian Henderson, and Munster's U-turn on Roger Randall. But first, a big weekend for Irish provinces in Europe. The countdown is on for Leinster as they're getting set to welcome Toulon to Aviva Stadium in the semi-finals of the Champions Cup. Leo Cullen-Sider hoping to book their place in the final in Bilbao, the scene of their last final success back in 2018. Chasing a fifth star, they've suffered losses in two semi-finals and four finals since then. However, a lot has been spoken of their last four defeats to Northampton Saints last year. After a slow start to this season, they've gone unbeaten in the competition. However, the manner in which they've gone about it has been up for much discussion, particularly with their defence. A 49-31 win over Edinburgh, a particular highlight of that, though they were much better against Sale in the quarterfinals, winning 43-13. Irish Times rugby correspondent Gerry Thornley believes that it's been a lasting hangover from that defeat to Northampton 12 months ago.
I don't think Leinster have fully recovered from the seismic effect of losing at home to Northampton. That was altogether less excusable than losing. There's no disgrace in losing a final, least of all after extra time to a Toulouse side with arguably the greatest player of all time and regarded by many as the greatest club side of all time. And Leinster came within a whisker of winning a game that they would not have been flattered to win. They played that well that day. And, you know, they've been gone close twice against La Rochelle. They've been beaten. They've been unlucky a little bit, more than a little bit. I thought they got very few decisions from Matthew Carling in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium that day. But losing at home to Northampton was a completely... It was partly self-inflicted because they were just so loose and seemingly either overworked in training or mentally not aroused enough for what was coming at them, and certainly not prepared for Northampton's threat of counter-attack and in transition. And like we've talked many times, to concede the 39 points in the five tries they conceded and to have a tackle success rate of lower than 80% was just extraordinary defensive performance from Leinster, so out of keeping with them for much of the last couple of years under Jacques Nienaber. And it's now got... I don't see them losing two home semi-finals in a row because of what happened last season, but I don't think they've scaled the heights of over a year ago since that semi-final.
Well, less than ideally, Leinster's preparations came up against an unexpected defeat to Benetton in the URC last weekend. However, Gary Ringrose says the players in the squad are well used to having to pick themselves up for such a big game.
Yeah, we'd be challenging ourselves pretty hard in training, and I guess you want to prepare the team as best you can that's playing on any given weekend and then be ready to be called upon. If injuries or something was to come up during the week. So we'd all be expected to be able to deliver from that perspective. It's obviously tough to see the results because, so as I was talking about, the effort that goes in a year, if you break it down to the effort that goes in from the whole group each week, say players and staff as well, you want to get a result at the end of the week, but unfortunately we don't necessarily have control of the outcome of the games, and sometimes games don't quite go our way or the opposition play exceptionally well. And I think it was evident it was tough lessons to learn against Treviso, but hopefully make them valuable ones.
Well, Leinster have named a strong side for that game at Aviva Stadium, with Leo Cullen recalling several frontline players. There are seven changes to the team beaten last week, including the return of Andrew Porter and Thomas Clarkson to the front row. In the pack, Joe McCarthy and James Ryan come into the second row, while Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose are restored to their centre partnership. Hugo Keenan also returns at full back, with captain Caelan Dorris continuing in a strong back row alongside Jack Conan and Josh van der Fleer. Jemison Gibson-Park and Harry Byrne retain their places at half back. Well, on to matters for Ulster next and a chance to book their place in the final of the Challenge Cup. Richie Murphy's side will be hoping home advantage can go their way as they welcome Exeter Chiefs to Belfast tomorrow. There's more than the potential of winning silverware up for grabs for them, though. In the URC table, they're eighth and would just scrape the last Champions Cup qualification spot. Winning the Champions Cup would see them guaranteed of that should their league form slip, which would be bad news for Connacht just below them. 2 weeks ago, a lengthy injury list was issued in advance of playing Munster. This cast a major doubt in Ulster's ability to get over the line this season. Well, they lost 41-14 at Thomond Park. However, this week, a timely personnel boost. Tom O'Toole and Nick Timoney, along with Jude Postlewaithe, returned to full training. Well, the sides this weekend met in last season's Champions Cup. Ulster ran through the Chiefs in Belfast that day, winning out 52 points to 24. Ulster have not won a trophy in 20 years, while the Chiefs' Champions Cup success came in behind a closed doors final, meaning a Bilbao decider on May 22nd against Montpellier or the Dragons is a huge incentive for both sides. Ian Henderson says that home advantage is huge in the game, but it won't count for anything if they can't hit the ground running.
Yeah, there definitely is. We've had a good few chats around it throughout the... Probably last time we talked about it, but trying to get another home match was during the quarters, and what we wanted to do and try and build as a club and as a team. Come from where we were at the start of pre-season, what we wanted to do, what we kind of like had in our mind, just to kind of try and get better and better as the season's gone on. And to be fair, the lads, although it's not perfect, have been doing better and better. So, look. Huge challenge this weekend. It's going to be massive. Like we know, the Exeter side and the games that they've been producing over the last number of weeks and months is way different to the Exeter side we saw here last year. So look, I think it's going to be incredibly tough. But look, it's exciting to have a home knockout match again, and something we're incredibly proud of. You definitely see it with the Premiership sides, like a gnarly attitude, like a never give up, and you see that in Exeter. Obviously, it's part of their DNA, kind of. Real hard edge, working right to 80 minutes, as we saw, like they have got turned out, have got some results in the league and in the cup this year that have really like pushed teams to the swords. We know that like it's not going to be, if we do well in the first half or whatever, that's not going to be the game suit up. We're going to need to play for 80, maybe even more than 80 minutes if it goes into extra time as well. So like we know it's going to be a real tough ask, and the Premiership sides definitely have that extra bit, added bit of dog in them too.
Well, in team news, Ulster have made 14 changes for that game, with Richie Murphy reshuffling his side. Ian Henderson, who you've just heard from, captains the team from the second row, while Nick Timoney returns to the back row after injury. Michael Lowry retains his place at full back, with Stuart McCluskey named in at midfield alongside Jude Postlewaithe. And finally for today, Munster have confirmed that Roger Randall will not take up the role of attack coach with the province, stating the decision was reached by mutual consent. The development comes after his proposed appointment had been announced. Randall, a former New Zealand international, had been due to join the coaching team ahead of next season. However, concerns emerged in the days after relating to historic allegations dating back to 1997, which generated significant attention. While Randall has previously denied any wrongdoing, the situation led to growing unease both within the club and among the wider rugby community. The issue became a distraction at a crucial stage. Munster acknowledged the sensitivity of the matter and confirmed that following the discussions, both parties agreed that it was best not to proceed with the appointment. The province did not comment any further on specifics of the allegations. Well, the head coach, Clayton McMillan, said that I want to acknowledge Roger's professionalism throughout this process and the way in which he engaged with what has been a difficult discussion for everyone. I am personally disappointed that we'll not have the opportunity to work together at Munster. I know Roger well. He's an outstanding person and coach, and I believed that he would have brought real quality to the programme. Well, as for Randall, he said that he was deeply disappointed and that unfounded allegations from nearly 30 years ago, allegations he said I always denied, which have resurfaced during this process and overshadowed what was a wonderful opportunity to contribute to Munster. I want to state clearly that these claims are false, and I maintain my complete and unwavering innocence as I always have. He went on to say that it became clear that renewed public attention around these allegations had created circumstances where proceeding with the role was no longer the right outcome for our family. This is something that we accept with genuine sadness and disappointment. He said, my priority is now supporting my family and moving forward while continuing to stand by the truth. Now, that decision leaves Munster without a confirmed attack coach for the next campaign, and attention will now turn to the province and how they address the vacancy in the coming weeks. Until then, though, Munster, who are fifth in the URC table, need to maintain that position within the top seven to avoid the potential of Ulster whipping eighth away from them. They've a major injury crisis to contend with, including captain and lock Tadhg Byrne, who limped out with a leg injury in the second half of the win against Ulster, and also fly half Jack Crowley withdrawn before kickoff with a dead leg. South African lock John Klein with a bicep problem, along with wing Calvin Nash with a hamstring issue. Centre Tom Farrell injured his shoulder, and tight head prop Ollie Yeager with a concussion. So lots to contend with ahead of facing Connacht on May 9th. That's all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. Thank you for listening. I'm Daniel Pitcher.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.